from John chapter 6, verses 32 to 35. Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. You may be seated. I am convinced that that carrying groceries in from the car may be one of the greatest spiritual lessons of our lives. We pray for you. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. May you speak through me, if not because of me, in spite of me. And God, I ask that you give all of us here the humility, insight, and the wisdom to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So that moment when you have gotten home from the grocery store, which maybe was chaotic, especially if you go on a Sunday afternoon from what I hear, you go, you get all your groceries, you put them in the car, you put them in these bags, the bags that are supposed to make it easier to carry in, which I'm sure they do. But then you get home, and you open your car door, and you think, "I would really like to be inside right now. I can absolutely get all these groceries in one trip." Anyone ever been there before? And you've got 5-10 bags maybe on one arm if you're really good at it. You've got another 5 or 6 here. You've got an indentation of a can that's been smashed into your arm because you're shoving it all together as hard as you can. And halfway in, as you've almost made it, you start to realize that bag number 4 that you cannot get to is starting to get lower and lower, and you realize perhaps this bag isn't going to hold much longer. And to make things worse, guess what's in that bag?
Eggs.
Eggs, right? You got your eggs in that bag to make matters worse. So here you are, you're looking like a superhero, and you've got all the bags, and you've almost made it, and you realize tragedy is about to strike. And then there's perhaps the question that you're really asking is, how in the world do I get through this moment dignified? Because it's about to get real chaotic, real fast, and the neighbors are walking by and looking in your garage too. Right? It's in those moments where we're like, "I can absolutely get all of this in one trip," that we start to confront the idea of maybe there's not enough hands or arm space, or not enough bags to hold all the weight. Perhaps there's just not enough. Maybe not enough time, maybe not enough energy, maybe not enough patience, maybe not enough margin, maybe not enough strength or not enough money. Whatever it might be, it's in that space that we start to realize what appears to be a limitation. And then that can start shaping the tone of everything that we see in the world. Our patience, perhaps, grows a little thinner. Our mind starts to race a bit more. And even if no one else can tell on the outside, on the inside, you have this gut feeling that maybe there's just not enough. And I think the truth is that we all do this. It might look different for you and the person beside you than others in here. But we all have this thing that we do, that we look at what's in front of us and we make an assessment of it. And we start living as if the way in which we've assessed it is the final truth. And we do this with so many areas of our lives. The easiest example that feels the most real and tangible and immediate for us is often related to our finances or our money. We look at it and say, can we stretch it? Like, is this going to work? Oh, and we get concerned about that. And maybe perhaps we start to say, I don't have what I need. And it's surprising how quickly that scarcity becomes the primary narrative by which we live by. That scarcity becomes the primary narrative by which you and I make decisions and the way in which we react to people and to others. And it also influences even how we set up our society and the culture which we live in. We think that there's not enough. And then here's where it really starts to move. Is we actually start living as if we are on it on our own. That we are on this life on our own. That everything depends on us as individuals. That we have to carry the full weight to make enough. That somehow we have to figure out how to get 40 bags of groceries in one trip. When in reality, you probably weren't meant to carry more than 10. And that's pushing it. So I ask you, where in your life, or my lives, where in our lives, have we decided already that there's just not enough? Where have we made that decision in our lives? Maybe we recognize it, maybe we never really thought about it before, but where could that be? What if what feels insufficient isn't actually the whole story? What if instead it is God's not finished with that part of your story? What if it may not feel like enough has a yet on the end of that? And that's exactly where we're going to go today. Last week we were celebrating, and we continue to celebrate through Easter, the resurrection of Jesus and new creation, and that is the ultimate provision for all of us, God's grace through Jesus Christ. But we also see what happens on Tuesday. We celebrate it on Sunday. Monday is Monday. When we get to Tuesday, which is just another day of the week, how in the world do we own and live the resurrection from Sunday on Tuesday? Because here we are on another Sunday, and it's easier. How do we do it on Tuesday? And that's where these people in Exodus find themselves. They find themselves in Exodus 16, having come out of slavery. They were there and got praying for God to help them. God hears their prayers. They are removed out of that situation. You see multiple miracles happen along the way, which how many times have we said in our life, if only we could see a miracle, then maybe we would believe it? They see it. They have seen those miracles, and they still struggle. And now they've had these miracles happen. They've gotten through the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army has been washed away, and suddenly now all should be good and great and fantastic. But what's so interesting is sometimes when you get to freedom, that's much more difficult than to live in a situation where you know you're going to be provided for. But here they are, Exodus 16. They've seen all of those things happen. And this is where we get to. Again, Pharaoh's army has just been washed away. They've celebrated. They've made it out. They're now into their new life, hopefully, which has led them to the wilderness. Exodus 16, verse 2. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Notice it doesn't say they're complaining against God there. It says Aaron and Moses, which is interesting when we read a few verses from now. But they've seen all these good things. Yes, they were in slavery. It was terrible. It was awful. But they, in their head, in their mind, knew that they were going to be provided for. And now, suddenly, they're out of that dynamic. And there's questions about whether they'll have what they need. And they're in a place where there's very little to offer them. It doesn't look promising as they look around her situation. Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord. It's interesting here that in Egypt, they're speaking to God, complaining about the Egyptians and their situation. And what does God do? But God pulls them out of Egypt. Here in this moment, Moses is redirecting them and saying, you're not complaining against me. You're complaining against God who brought us out here. You are complaining about God. And then what does God do? Strike them with lightning and thunder because they're complaining against him? No. God instead finds a way to provide the very thing that they're complaining about. The very thing they need. Remember how many times here I've said it's good for you to be honest with God? This is an example of that. That God has big enough shoulders to handle where we're at and the truth about what we're feeling. But here they are in the wilderness, hungry, and God is providing. This reminds me of Genesis 22. You may remember the story. We're not going to go into it today, but this story where Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac, which has a whole other level of conversation. But there it says, the Lord will provide. Here the Egyptians, the Israelites in slavery prayed for God. What did God do? Provided a way out for them. Here they are, out in the wilderness, looking at their situation, thinking there's not enough hands to bring in these bags. And what does God do? Even when the complaints are directed towards God, but God provides. We see this over and over and over again. But God tells them to gather only what they need. Not to hoard it, not to stockpile it for tomorrow. God, why does God tell them that? I think perhaps there's questions about what we need, the amount we need, and not taking more than what we actually need. There's probably some things we could ask about that. But the deeper thing that's happening under here is that God is not simply giving them what they need to sustain life now. God is helping them understand what they need to sustain and live a life that is filled with meaning and deeper purpose that goes beyond this world and even into the new creation. What God is doing is God is teaching them to actually believe and trust in a God who's not going to leave them alone in isolation and need. God is teaching them to lean into and to trust that God has not and will not forget them. You see, they're learning to live a new kind of life. They had depended on the Egyptians, and now they're learning to depend on God. For us in our own world, in our own society, we do the same thing. We start to think that if I don't get these groceries in by myself, then who's going to get them in? And we live as though everything is completely and utterly, utterly dependent on our shoulder, and if we don't get it right, if we don't do it, then things are going to fall apart. And it's going to be tragic. But that's not what God is helping them understand. God is helping them understand that not everything is being carried on your shoulders. That you are and will not be forgotten. That God will see you and remember you. And then, of course, we get to John chapter 6, which we just heard a little bit ago. And what does Jesus say? That I am the bread of life. That God is the one who provides the bread of life. That it is through Jesus Christ that we find meaning and purpose and wholeness and true abundant life. But there's something else about this that's interesting. Did you notice in Exodus chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 4, it said, go out and gather. Go out and gather. This is not a proclamation that you have to work hard and earn your pay or your keep or earn your food. This is not an affirmation of that American sort of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's not what this is at all. Instead, to go and to gather means that the people participate. They engage in the work. In providing life for you and for others, there's an invitation in this. Today, we will celebrate Holy Communion. And this is for us the body and blood of Christ. This is both symbolic and also more than that. It's also a grace, a way of grace that God sustains us. That God sustains us. But that bread got here through human hands. Somebody had to harvest the need and bake. Somebody had to bring it here. That got here through human hands. There in Holy Communion is, in fact, an invitation to participate, that we are receiving from God through others as well. It may not feel like enough yet. It may not feel like enough yet. But God is still providing what the people needed. God is still providing what you and I actually need. And that might come in a multitude of ways, one of which could be through others. And you and I are also invited to participate in providing that bread and that life for others. We're not the bread, but we are agents to help bring that to others. So what does this mean for you and for I? When life doesn't feel like there's enough, and whatever that might be for you, that feeling that you have is not the final truth. It is a first reading, or a second, or a third, but it's not the whole story. Because all of this means that God may already be providing for you and for us in ways that we hadn't yet realized. Now, that does not mean every problem disappears. Let's remember the setting the Exodus was happening, these people were in. They were in the wilderness, a place that was barren. The wilderness didn't go away. They were still there. They still had to walk through it. They still had questions. They still had doubts and unknowns about their whole future. But in it, they're learning something important. They're learning that even in this space where it's miserable, God's here too. God knows me in this place also. God still provides for us there. And maybe that's what some of us perhaps need reminding of. Maybe we knew this and we forgot. It's easy to forget this. The wilderness is not gone, but God is present in it. Every fear does not disappear, but that fear does not have to narrate your whole story, or my whole story. So this week, when you're perhaps your schedule feels impossible, or there's not enough time in your day to do what you need to do. Maybe ask yourself what God has already given you today. When anxiety starts to tell you about your future, may you remind yourself that God has not asked you to live tomorrow yet. God has not asked you to live tomorrow yet. It may not feel like enough yet, but God will provide what we need. So as we begin this series, More Than Enough, the next several weeks, we're going to lean into this. My hope is that you see that God is forming all of us and God's people into a different kind of people. We're not a people who deny that there's need, because there is need. We're not a people who pretend that life is easy, because life is not always easy. But instead, we stop measuring life by only what is missing. We're people who know how to receive. We're people who know how to gather what God has already given us for today. That we become people who believe that the God of the resurrection is also the God of our ordinary Tuesdays. The God of the resurrection is also the God of our ordinary Tuesdays. Because that same God who raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit, is also within you. It may not feel like enough yet, but God is not finished telling the story. You don't have to carry those grocery bags in by yourself. And you most certainly don't have to do it in one trip. Don't live tomorrow's problems today. What would it look like for us to approach Holy Communion today, both as a physical act of receiving from God, but also as a statement of saying that even when I don't understand, even when it doesn't look like there's enough, I will always return to the source. Source of our hope and the source of our future. We pray. Gracious God, it's so easy for us to try to carry it all. It's easy for us to forget in the middle of the week what we celebrate on Sunday, that you were resurrected. That the story looked like it was finished, but it wasn't. Because God, you are still up to something. And the same is true for us today, God. That you are still active and still working and still up to something. May you help us be a people who remember where bread comes from. Where sustenance comes from. Not just what we need to survive, but what we need to be whole people who know that the story is not over yet. In Jesus' name.